The book of 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, and with the help of the Lord, I'm going to begin reading in just a few moments in verse number 1 of the chapter and be reading through verse number 4. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 1. So good to see this good number out on a Thursday evening. So good to see you. Thank you for coming. Several of you have been here every single night. And boy, what an encouragement that has not only been to Pastor Mrs. Freeman, but to me as well. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for every meal. Thank you for all the gifts. Thank you for the basket. Thank you for the motel room. I just can't say thank you enough. All of the music has been outstanding. I believe the Lord has gotten glory out of the music here this week. I've enjoyed every missionary testimony. Every presentation has been godly and transforming. And I believe that God is going to give you a great faith promise this year. I really believe that. Cassie and I will leave tonight praying and believing God with you, that the greatest days of outreach for Fellowship Baptist Church will still be yet to come. As you follow the faith of your pastor, I guarantee you, God's going to lead all of you to greener pastures. Thank you, thank you, thank you just for allowing me and Miss Cassie to be a part of this meeting this week. So good to see you. It's good to see Brother Caleb Ballou and his family who drove in tonight. We had a part in their ordination service just a few days ago down the road here in Stanton. And I'm so glad to see Brother Ballou and his family here tonight. Well, I'll tell you what I felt impressed of the Lord to do. Preacher, I have felt such liberty as I have preached here this week. And we started Sunday and all the way through last night, Wednesday night, we've been laser focused on missions, missions, missions. But I'll tell you what I felt impressed of the Lord to do tonight. I want to preach to the church. And I believe, I understand why the Lord has led me in this direction tonight. If any church is going to have a strong missions outreach, it will ultimately be the result of having a strong church. And so I want to preach tonight a message I could not get away from while seeking the Lord's will for the service tonight. I want to preach on the thought a church member to thank God for. Throughout the course of over 30 years now of ministry, I've often been asked the question, preacher, can't I be saved and yet not be an active member of a local Bible-believing church? And, of course, ultimately the answer to that question would be yes. However, it would sort of be like being a soldier without ever joining an army. It would sort of be like being a football player or a baseball player without ever joining a team. Friend, the more I read and study my Bible, the more I am absolutely convinced that it is God's perfect will for every born-again child of God to have their name on the active role of a local Bible-believing church. Hear me tonight. Every Christian needs a man to call pastor. Every Christian needs a church to call home. Every child of God needs the fellowship, the spiritual food, and ultimately the kind of focus in their Christian lives that only come from playing a part in the ministry of a local Bible-believing church. And therefore, with the help of the Lord tonight, I want to zero in on the first four verses of Scripture here in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And by doing so, I think each of us will discover here Paul not only teaches us that every Christian should be a member of a local church, but he teaches us in the text while speaking of the church of Thessalonica why we should strive to be the kind of church member that others would thank God for. I think you're going to see this evening that Paul speaks of such church members here in these four short, simple, yet sobering verses of Scripture. If you're able tonight, would you please stand with me as we read the Word of God together? 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Verse number 1 of the chapter says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. With our Bibles open, let's bow our heads, shall we, for a moment of prayer. Father, what a joy it has been to have been a part of this missions revival. And Lord, I believe with all of my heart, each of us have experienced a touch of real missions revival this week. And therefore, I'm so very grateful for your touch and for your presence. Lord, you've manifested yourself in the service in so many ways throughout the course of this week together. Now, Father, I'm nothing without you. Would you touch me tonight? Would you cleanse me of sin and self and fill me with thy precious Holy Spirit? Make a preacher, if you would please, out of me tonight. And I'll give you glory and honor, for truly thou art worthy. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated tonight. Let me call your attention, if I may, to verse number 3 of the chapter before us, as this single verse of Scripture will be used as the key text of the message that God has laid on my heart for this evening's service. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now, if you'll notice, while looking into this verse of Scripture, there is a 9-word phrase that I trust the Holy Ghost of God would get beyond our heads tonight in order that it might find a lodging place in each of our hearts. That 9-word phrase in verse 3 that I'm talking about tonight is this: we are bound to thank God always for you. Here, ladies and gentlemen, is a portion of the inspired and errant Word of God that teaches us beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is possible to be the kind of person, to be the kind of friend, to be the kind of Christian that others would thank God for. In fact, as we begin to consider these verses of Scripture before us that I've just read within our hearing, I believe we will ultimately discover that here the Apostle Paul, as he was inspired of the Holy Ghost of God to do so, not only declares that he thanked God for the Thessalonians, but primarily for three very specific groups of Thessalonian believers as well. And therefore, I'm very interested to know what those three groups of Christians at Thessalonica were. If Paul thanked God for them, and he certainly did, according to verse 3 of our text, then what was it about them that caused Paul, every time God brought these Thessalonians to Paul's remembrance, it caused Paul to stop, throw his head back toward heaven, and say, thank God. What kind of church member did Paul thank God for? Well, first of all, according to verse number 3, Paul thanked God for those growing up church members. Can I prove it to you? Look with me again, if you would please, in verse 3. Paul writes, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet." Now watch your Bible. "Because that your faith groweth exceedingly." And so the very first kind of church member that Paul thanked God for were those church members at Thessalonica whose faith was growing exceedingly. Paul thanked God for those church members who were maturing spiritually in the things of the Lord. In fact, if you'll notice in verse 3, Paul specifically mentions those in Thessalonica whose faith was not slightly growing, not marginally growing. Paul mentions those in the text whose faith was growing exceedingly. They were maturing in the things of the Lord. They were progressing in their walk with Christ, not on a yearly basis, not on a quarterly or a monthly basis, but every day. As Paul considered their personal walk with the Lord Jesus, Paul could see progression. Paul could see spiritual growth. So much, in fact, that every time God brought them to the apostles' remembrance, it caused Paul to thank God for them. Because their faith was growing exceedingly, these Thessalonians were much more interested in being a blessing to the church as opposed to being a burden to the church. Since their faith was growing exceedingly, they were much more interested in what they could do for the church as opposed to what the church could do for them. Since their faith was growing exceedingly, they were much more interested in helping the church as they were interested in hindering the church. You may ask tonight, well, Preacher Caudle, how do you know all these things? I know all these things because of what Paul is thanking God for in verse 3. Paul thanked God for those growing up Christians at Thessalonica. He thanked God for those Christians that realized that Christian growth in their walk with Christ isn't a casual command, but rather isn't a casual suggestion, rather, but it is a profound command. Paul thanked God for growing up church members. And by the way, you know the kind of Christians that God uses to help send missionaries to the field? It isn't those spiritual babes in Christ more times than not. It's those that are growing, those that are maturing, those that are progressing in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know how I know that? I know that because when we are growing spiritually, God
God instills it within each of our hearts, we inevitably become much more interested in spreading the Lord's gospel than we become interested in spreading the latest gossip. Amen? Paul thanked God for those growing up church members. He thanked God for those that were making much of the Bible, and therefore the Bible was making much of them. Paul thanked God for those making much of the closet of prayer. And since they were making much of the closet of prayer, the closet of prayer was making much of them. Since these folks' faith was growing exceedingly, they were loving their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ as opposed to letting them have it. They were fervent in worship. They were fervent in work. They were fervent as witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. They had determined with all that's within them to keep the main thing, the main thing. Amen. Hey, their faith was growing. They were maturing. They were progressing in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say tonight, Fellowship Baptist Church, you can rest assured this evening that just as that was God's will for the Thessalonian believers, it's just as much God's will for you. And it's certainly God's will for me. If God's going to use me to the fullest extent, I've got to grow. I've got to move spiritually. I've got to mature. I've got to grow up. Can I say something tonight? Listen, it isn't a sin to be a babe in Christ. It isn't. It's not a sin to be a baby in Christ. But wait a minute. It is a sin to remain a babe in Christ. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may, you remember what he said? Grow thereby. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Can I ask you a question tonight, church? Do you want to be the kind of church member? Do you want to be the kind of Christian? Do you want to be the kind of friend? Do you want to be the kind of husband, the kind of wife that others would thank God for? Then let me say something that your preacher's probably too nice to say, at least like this. Grow up! Strong missions programs, Brother David, are built by mature Christians. I understand that the pastor is a grandpa again. I was blessed to enjoy a meal with him and Mrs. Freeman tonight before the service. And it just so happened that Mrs. Freeman had a picture of the brand new grandbaby. And boy, we took that picture out and she passed it around the table and we all oohed and goohed and everybody except the preacher. The preacher really, he gave us a little talking about things like that, about how, what was it you said, preacher? All newborns that sort of look crazy when they're first born. I can't remember exactly what he said, but... And boy, rightly so. Man, you see a brand new little baby that's just been born. Oh, man, I've seen it pull out some things out of some grown men that, I just don't understand it, you know. And rightly so, they're brand new. They're a little baby. But wait a minute. What if I come back in a few years and that baby hasn't grown? What if I come back 2 or 3 years down the road and that baby is still drinking milk? I guarantee you, I know these good people good enough to know what's going to happen. they're going to get on the phone and they're going to try to find that little baby some help. This baby's not growing. It's not maturing. Something is tremendously wrong. Well, I want to tell you, church, what's true in the physical realm is just as true in the spiritual realm. And by the way, can I throw this in since it's my last night and I'm leaving early tomorrow morning? Don't tell me how long you've been saved. I'm glad you've been saved 130 years. I'm glad you helped Noah build the ark. I'm glad you were there when Moses led the nation of Israel to cross on dry ground to the other side there at the Red Sea. I understand. You've been around a long time. But did you know it's possible to be saved for a long, long time and not be as spiritually mature as somebody that's been saved a year or two? Every single one of us ought to grow up. I got news for you. You haven't arrived, and neither have I. I don't know how it is with you. The more I learn, brother, the more I study, the more I realize that I don't know. So really, the smarter I get, the dumber I get. Is that not a paradox? I need to grow up. I believe with all of my heart, 99.9% of all problems in a local church would be solved if we just grow up. Can I tell you this story? Story's been told of a little girl. Her mama loved her with all of her heart, and she picked her up one night. She put her into bed, and she pulled the covers up around her, and she kissed her on the cheek. And she said, "Honey, I love you, and I'll see you in the morning." And she went off to bed. About midnight that night, she heard a scream. And she went running into her little girl's bedroom. And her little girl had fallen off into the floor. Of course, that loving mother reached down and picked that little girl up and put her in bed again and said, "Honey, how did you fall out? What caused you to fall out of the bed?" The little girl made a wise statement. She said, "Well, Mama, I guess I just stayed too close to where I got in at." You want to know why some folk get out of church? You want to know why some folks throw up both hands and say they want to take on more missionaries? I've had it. You want to know why some folks get out of church? They stay too close to where they get in at. You want to be a blessing to your preacher? Grow up. Do you want to be a help to the missions outreach of Fellowship Baptist Church of Madison, Virginia? Then grow up. Do you want to be a blessing as opposed to a burden to your local church? I'll tell you how you can do it. Get more interested in spreading the gospel than you are interested in spreading the gossip. Grow up! Grow up. Paul thanked God for those growing up church members. Secondly, Paul thanked God for those getting along church members. Can I show it to you in verse 3? Paul writes, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." Watch your Bible. He's not through. "And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." And so the Bible is abundantly clear. Yes, Paul thanked God for those growing up church members, but he also thanked God for those getting along church members. In fact, here in verse 3, you and I actually witness right before our very eyes a direct answer to the Apostle Paul's prayer. Let me prove it to you. Flip back a page in your Bible, if you would please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, look with me in verse number 9. Paul writes, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you." Look at verse 12. Don't miss it now. "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." And so here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Bible is abundantly clear. Paul, when he prayed that the Thessalonians' love would abound toward each other. And by the time God used him to pen the book of 2 Thessalonians, as you turn back there now in chapter 1, that is exactly what God had done. And therefore we can know tonight Paul's prayers had been answered, because here in our text we see Paul not only thanking God for growing up Christians, man, he's thanking God for getting along Christians. And can I tell you the kind of church members that Fellowship Baptist Church of Madison, Virginia need? Fellowship Baptist Church needs some getting along church members. Hear me tonight. It isn't those who walk around with a chip on their shoulder the size of the county in which they're living that God uses to the fullest extent. Oh no. If you want to be the kind of Christian others would thank God for, listen, you're going to have to get along. You're going to have to determine to be a loving Christian, a helping Christian. Hear me tonight. It isn't those who get all bent out of shape over the least little thing that God uses to the fullest extent. Absolutely not. You want to be a blessing as opposed to a burden to your church? Get along. Paul said this to the church of Philippi, which, by the way, was one of those Macedonian churches that I preached about last night. Remember the church of Thessalonica that Paul is writing to here in our text, the church of Philippi, the church of Berea. Paul loved the church of Philippi. Lydia, the seller of purple, was there. The old Philippian jailer, he was there. I'm telling you, Paul loved the Philippians. Why, it's no wonder the Bible says they sent once and again unto Paul's necessity. Paul loved them, and they loved Paul. And Paul wanted to see the church move forward in every aspect of their ministry. So this is what Paul said to the church of Philippi in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. "And this I pray," listen, "that your love may abound. And this I pray, not that your finances abound, not that your membership would abound, not that the size and the number of your buildings would abound." No, that's not what Paul prayed. Paul prayed in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Isn't that amazing? Brother Lear, out of all of the things Paul could have prayed that would abound in the local church, Paul prayed that the church's love, their love for the sovereign, their love for the scriptures, their love for supplication, their love for the saints would abound. Now, why is that? I'll tell you why. Because if love abounds within the ministry of a local assembly, everything else will fall right into place. Oh, you ought to determine to be a getting along Christian. That's why Paul not only thanked God for those growing up Christians, he thanked God for those getting along Christians. Can I share this one story with you? True story. And I'll give you my last point. We'll be through. It was while I was pastoring my second church in Statesville, North Carolina, God laid upon my heart the need to have a revival meeting. God put a hunger in my heart for real revival. And I know that a revival meeting doesn't constitute a real revival, but nevertheless, God impressed upon my heart to have a revival meeting and pray and beg God to use the revival meeting as a catalyst to send us into a time of real revival. I felt impressed of the Lord to call one of my former pastors, and he was kind enough to even leave his church on a Sunday night, and he actually came to our church and started preaching on Sunday night. And I'm going to be honest with you. I know you men in the ministry, you would understand what I'm getting ready to say. You'd be able to sympathize with it. Have you ever had a service, and boy, you were just so pumped up for that service. You were just so ready for that service. And then by the end of the service, you sort of let down because it just didn't seem to get off the ground. Well, that's the way that service was, that Sunday night service. Oh, we went through the motions. The choir got up and sang just like they always did. And we had a special song, and of course the man of God, he did a wonderful job challenging us from the pages of the Word of God. But you could just tell it just wasn't right. I didn't think much about it. After all, it's just the first night. You know, it'll get better tomorrow. We came back the next night and it was worse. In fact, after that second meeting, me and the preacher met together, and he was having a hard time preaching, and he was just honest. And we met in my office, and we decided together that we were going to give this thing until Wednesday night and just see how it goes. And if we didn't feel impressed of the Lord to go any further, we'd just shut it down Wednesday night. And, you know, both agree that we had a good time going to the house of God. But I so wanted more than that. I wanted more than that. So the next night, we came back that Tuesday night. Preacher got up to preach. Choir got up to sing. Had the special song. We had gone through all the motions. When the preacher finished preaching, he extended the invitation. We had three sections of pews there at the Calvary Baptist Church. And I shall never forget that there was a young lady. Her name was Joni. And she stepped out into the aisle and she started making her way to the altar. I was standing on the platform. I watched every step that she took. And I thought when she stepped out, I thought, well, praise the Lord, that's the first person that's even come to the altar in 3 days to pray. Lord, whatever she's going to pray about, I pray that you'd touch others' heart. And maybe we could have an altar prayer, something like that. But instead of kneeling in the altar, I noticed that Joni turned. She started walking to the other side of the church. When she got over here to this particular section of pews, she walked down the aisle, and I was standing there, and I saw Joni walk up to another young lady her age whose name was Christy. Both of these two young ladies were in our youth group. And I stood on the platform, and I watched Joni extend her hand to Christy and say two words that, quite honestly, I hadn't heard many times in over 30 years of ministry. Joni looked at Christy, and with tears in her eyes, she said, "I'm sorry." And when Joni said to Christy, "I'm sorry," Christy threw both arms around Joni. And those two young ladies ran to the altar. And when they knelt in the altar, an entire youth group knelt around them. And the youth group began to pray. It was on that night when I saw one man walk across the aisle and shake the hand of another man in the church and say, "I'm sorry. It was that same night that I saw several husbands in the church reach down and take the hand of their wife and go to the altar, having said to one another, I'm sorry. When we finished getting right with each other that night, listen, it was as if God opened the windows of heaven and God began to pour out His blessing. I can't even remember how long we stayed at church that night, but I remember coming back the next night, and we had prayer room for the men before the services. We started about 7, about 6:45. I think the service started at 7. So we started praying in the prayer room at 6:45. Lo and behold, it was before I even realized what was going on. It was 20 minutes after the starting time. The men of the church had gotten so engulfed in the closet of prayer, praying and begging God to do a work at our church that we had forgotten about the starting time. We were 20 minutes late. And you can ask my wife, preacher, I am a stickler about stay with the schedule. If you say you're going to start at 7, you start at 7. Not at 7:01, not at 7:02. I mean, that was my policy. But at 7:15, we were still praying and we were still begging God to do that that only God could get credit for doing. We went up 20 minutes late that night. Out of the prayer room, God showed up in a miraculous way, and I'm going to condense the next 2 weeks or so into about 30 seconds. A week that we was afraid would only last a few days ended up lasting 10 days. We saw souls saved. We saw lives changed. And our church was never again the same. We gave more to world evangelism after that revival than we had ever given before. We reached more souls. We ran more buses. We impacted our community more after that revival meeting than we ever did before. And if you want to know where it started when two young teenage girls decided to get along. I'll tell you this, and I'll give you my last point, and I'm through. I trust the greatest days of ministry are still yet to come for Fellowship Baptist Church. God has blessed you with a wonderful church family. Hear me, and I'm not saying it, Pastor. I'm honest. I'm not saying it just because I think you would want me to say it. I'm not saying it just because I think you folks want me to say it. The Lord has been so good to me and Miss Cassie. We've been in a different church every Sunday, every week of our lives for 8 years now. I'm in a church every week of my life. And preacher, I'm telling you, there are not many Fellowship Baptist churches out there. You're one of the best churches. Miss Cassie, am I telling it right? You're one of the best churches we've ever been in. We're honored to partner with you to reach the world with the gospel, but wait a minute. You want to know what the enemy's out to do? I'll tell you what the enemy's out to do, brother. He's out to get him upset with you and you upset with her, because he knows if he can divide you, all them missionaries, Brother David, that you'd love to see the church take on, you think it's going to happen if you're arguing within the ranks of your local church? You better hear the preacher tonight. It won't happen if you want to reach the world with the gospel. Let me tell you how you can do it. Get along. Pull together. Pray together. Sometimes you just have to let some things go. Preacher, did you hear what they said about you? No, and I don't want to hear it from you either. But preacher, you just don't know what they said about you on social. On what? I have social media accounts, but I'll let you in on a little secret. It's the guys in the office. It's not me. You know why? I ain't got time for that stuff. Man, we got churches to build, preacher. How in the world do these guys spend 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 hours a day on social media? Man, I got missionaries to get to the field. I got Faith Promise missions offering to raise. I don't have time for all that. Get along. You want to be a blessing to your man of God? Let me tell you how he can sleep better at night. Get along. Get along. One other thing and I'm through. Well, I probably ruined any chance of getting to come back after this, but I'm telling you, I'm giving you my heart tonight because I am so thrilled at what God is doing here. You ought to refuse. Listen to me tonight. You ought to refuse to be a tool in the enemy's hand to disrupt the unity here. I have been amazed every night. The preacher has been so kind. I got to go into all the interviews with all of the missionaries here. Of course, Brother Caleb Ballou gave me a little heads up about that preacher. He told me some things to look for. It proved to be a great benefit before I went into the interrogation room. But every night in that room back there, Brother David, I've been amazed. Can I tell you why I've been amazed? I've sat there and I've watched these men. I've seen them agree, but wait a minute. I've seen them agree to disagree and still walk out of that room and love one another. Amen. And I think to myself, when we come out of that little room, it's no wonder God's blessing this place. Man, these guys get along. It's no wonder God has blessed the special singing. There's nobody upset because they didn't get to sing the special. They get along. God wants to use you here. He wants you to be the kind of church member that others would thank God for. And I trust that'll be the case. And if it is, you're going to have to get along. Get along. Paul thanked God for those growing up Christians. Paul thanked God for those getting along Christians. But then finally, if you look in verse 4, Paul thanked God for those going through Christians. Verse 4 of our text says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God, watch your Bible now, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Again, let me encourage you to consider the context of Paul's writing. When you study your Bible, you'll discover that the Thessalonians, they knew something about the suffering for the cause of Christ. I spoke of that last night. The church of Thessalonica was one of those Macedonian churches that, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, gave in spite not only of deep poverty, but in spite of great affliction. Why, here in verse 4 alone, Paul mentions persecutions. He mentions tribulations that the Thessalonians had to endure for the cause of Christ. Oh, hear me tonight, church. They knew what it was like to literally, physically, mentally, and certainly spiritually suffer for the cause of Christ. But in spite of it all, they didn't quit serving God. In spite of it all, they didn't quit living for God. They didn't point their finger toward heaven and say, Lord, you're not fair. I'm through with church. I'm through with tithing. I'm through with faith promise giving. Absolutely not. Paul said it in the text. They endured. They determined to be a going through Christian. I'll say this. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Can I tell you, listen, go on. So what, it didn't go your way? Go on. Listen, sometimes I'll sing the special and forget the words. More times than not, I wrote the song. Now you know your mind's a-going when you wrote the song and can't even remember the words. I've sung a few songs and made them up as I went. And get through with a song and think, my soul, that wasn't too bad. I need to go back and listen to that tape now and get those songs and write a whole nother song. That was wonderful. But I'm just saying, sometimes things just don't go your way. Preacher, I know you never preach a dud. But there have been a few times about 10 minutes into it, I just wanted to shut my Bible and go to the house and try again. But you try again. Go on. So what, they said what they said about you. Go on. Preach anyway. Oh, but preacher, I've got critics. Outpray them. Outgive them. Knock on more doors than they're knocking on, because I guarantee you, they ain't knocking on many, if any at all. Go on. Go on. When you got more month at the end of the money than you do money at the end of the month, go on. When things don't go your way, when the doctor bills, and by the way, birds have bills too, but they still sing, amen? Go on. Go on. Go on. Determine with all that's within you to be a going through Christian. I'll close with my favorite spiritual poem. My mama, when I was a little boy, she used to love Helen Steiner Rice poems. And she would often read poems to me as a little boy. So I've always loved poems. Well, there is a poem out there that changed my life. And I'm fixing to share it with you. It is very spiritual. It's about two frogs. I told you it was real spiritual. Here it goes. I'm talking about being a going through Christian. Just go on. Forget what they said. Just go on. Sing again. Teach again. Help in children's church again. So what? Somebody stepped on your toe. Go do it again. It'll be better next time. And if it's not, go the third time. Go on. Go on. Here's my favorite spiritual poem. Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use, croaked number one. 'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friends, goodbye, sad world. And weeping, the first frog drowned. But number two, of sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise, the while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes. I'll swim a while, at least he croaked, or so I've heard he said. It really would not help the world if one more frog is dead. So he swam and kicked and swam and kicked. Not one time did he even stop to mutter, but he swam and kicked and swam and kicked and hopped out because the cream had turned to butter. Preacher, I'm drowning in shame. Do you know what they said about me on social media? I'll tell you what you do. You just keep kicking. Out love them, out give them, out pray them, out work them. Just keep kicking. Go on. I want to tell you something that maybe you haven't stopped to think about. How many missionaries you guys support now? 82 families around the world are depending upon you to go on. Go on. Cassie and I could not do what God has put in our hearts to do without churches like yours. I'm telling you, brother, we're depending upon Fellowship Baptist Church and Pastor Freeman. We're depending upon the staff here. Let me speak for all 82 missionaries you support. Go on. Go on. Keep kicking. Keep preaching. Keep singing. Keep giving. Determined to be a going through Christian. You've listened so well. Would you bow your head with me? Our musicians are coming and they're going to begin to play softly. I wonder how many members of Fellowship Baptist Church, as we stand to our feet right now all over this auditorium, would walk an aisle, find a place in this old-fashioned altar, and say by your coming, I'm coming tonight to ask God to help me to be a growing up Christian. I'm coming tonight to ask God to help me to be a getting along Christian. I'm coming tonight to ask for God's help so that I might go through. In spite of the hardship, in spite of what they're saying, in spite of the suffering, follow the example of these Thessalonian believers and determine to go on.